It's Monday, April 27th, and time for another edition of Farm Talk. Happy spring, everyone. I'm Cody, and happy to be here with these lovely guests, including good buddy Professor Yaya, also known as Adrian Fielder.
So good to be in the house with you, Cody. We have some special guests today. We have with us Gretchen Hoffman, who is biodome manager of the project that you're going to learn about today. She was actually in garden and farming education for 16 years, starting at the Windstar Foundation back when John Denver was there, up in Old Snowmass, starting in 1983. And that actually took her all the way to Davis, California. But then she returned to the Valley in 1999 and became a landscape contractor until she quote-unquote retired in 2022. So good to have you with us today, Gretchen.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And we also have Karen Crownhart, who is a Carbondale native, alumni of Carbondale Public Schools and Roaring Fork High School, and has three daughters who are now also alumni of those schools. She was a staff member at Roaring Fork High School and I think the head coach of the volleyball program there for 10 years. Mm-hmm. She grew up in the ag community here in the Valley as her parents had a dairy farm and then also farmed potatoes and beef, and her brothers raise cattle to this day. So good to have you here, Karen.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good to be here.
So I know about your project because Ellen Pevek is one of my heroes, and she and Michael Thompson kind of got it started back in the day when I was in the Carbondale Rotary. So I know a little bit about the story, but you're here to talk about this GrowDome project behind Roaring Fork High School. Maybe you could give our listeners a little bit of context about, you know, when did this start and kind of what is the trajectory to how it got to where it is today? And then we'll get them caught up on what's going on right there.
Okay. I do want to just back up because this project that I'm now managing was sort of started way back at Windstar when Buckminster Fuller designed these biodomes, and I worked in them way back then with John Katzenberger. Mm-hmm. He was a big person, and I think I used to market for Jerome Ossentowski a million years ago too. And I believe he and Michael Thompson started building these domes after the designs that were developed at Windstar, and they started building them all around the country.
Yeah.
And I think this one was built in 2009, and I believe that Michael Thompson and Jerome and Hadley Henschel were all involved in all of that.
Yes. Great. Yeah. I actually was, strange fact, I helped Cooper Means and Ed and Vardy disassemble that dome that was at Windstar that Buckminster Fuller had built, the one that had no joints or nails or anything in it. It was just being held in place by gravity. We disassembled it piece by piece.
Was that the smaller one or the bigger one?
I don't know. It was the only one that was left back in 2017 or something. But yeah, we took that apart and brought it into storage. It's sitting around somewhere waiting to be rebuilt.
Oh.
Yeah. So this GrowDome behind Roaring Fork High School was inspired by that Buckminster Fuller design. So tell us kind of a little bit about how the project progressed over the years. How did you get involved? And, you know, kind of who are some of the people who made it happen?
So I got involved because I started coaching volleyball at Roaring Fork High School, and I would go there every day, and I was really excited to see that there. And then my girls, obviously, I was excited for them to go through the program and get to use that. And as I experienced them going through school and watched what they were getting out of it and how often they went out there and how little they enjoyed it and how how few students actually talked about it and used it, it really started to kind of like frustrate me that it was such an incredible resource that was right there, but very few kids actually went out there. And so I started to just talk to the girls that I was coaching a lot about it and seeing what their interests were in it and if they ever just used it, you know, and really got a lot of feedback from that group of girls that I was with every day. And I really just decided after my girls graduated that I was going to use my resources to get that going again and get kids into it, because I really didn't feel like it was being used like it could be. It's such an amazing space, and it's right there. And so I just thought I would start and go for it. And so I talked to Lindsay, the principal, and she was like, yeah, let's get a board. And she had other people that were reaching out to her. And so we started meeting, I think it was like almost 2 years ago, and talking about, you know, what can we do and how can we get it, all these ideas to come to light. And so that's how I got involved. And then it kind of just started going from there.
I should say that apparently during COVID, they kind of lost it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And panels fell off, and the climate battery, which we can talk about if people are interested, didn't work anymore. The vents didn't work anymore. A lot of the trees, fruit trees primarily, that they had put in there before had died. There were stumps in there. And so I think I didn't hear about the project until last May or June.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I saw that there was going to be a meeting, and I was gone. And I ran into our beloved Ellen Pevick in my garden on July 4th. And I said, oh my gosh, I'm so interested because I want to grow year round. And so I was talking to her, and she said, oh yeah, we're getting it fixed up. There, people came to the work day. She said, but the problem is we can't find a grower. Mm-hmm. And I said, you just did.
Ah, nice.
So then people started coming around, and people like Karen and Ellen, you know, got funding for us to fix it up.
Rejuvenate it. Great. Yeah.
And it's working well.
Yeah, I understand Hadley was the sort of champion of it for a while. It was a showcase sort of learning space for the agricultural biology program that he was teaching there. Mm-hmm. But then he had to leave the high school when Lindsay became the principal. And so that basically was kind of asking for somebody to come in and take care of it, take mm-hmm. it over. Tell us, like, what is going on there right now? What are the facilities that are there? Can we kind of paint for people a picture of what it looks like? And what are you doing there?
So, go ahead.
Well, I basically came in with this totally outside the box idea of what it was because I didn't know the history of it. And so in some of those early meetings, I just asked, like, you know, can I just propose something totally different outside than what we're doing now? And so I had Christy Jensen come up with a design, and she totally did a landscape design for free for us, and
for the bigger garden area around the dome.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the actual dome. I'm mm-hmm. talking about the whole space that we have, and so we got the design, and then we're putting in outside 15 4x8 growing boxes, and we got drip irrigation installed, so everything's automated now, and we got electricity inside the dome. We got actual water inside the dome that's year-round now. And so we're making it much more user-friendly. It was really difficult from what I could see to actually maintain it really well because I actually work maintaining a ranch outside of Carbondale, and I have a lot of resources actually to do what and maintain the way that probably I feel like at a high standard. And I just felt like it could really be maintained so much easier if we got some of these basics like irrigation and electricity. And so that's kind of where we're at now. We have the facility for some of the design completed and installed. There's still some other components that we haven't installed yet, like the I'm hoping to get like an outside classroom built on the backside of it. And there's some other parts of it that I think we can get to.
Okay, awesome.
And so you and Gretchen will be maintaining the garden throughout this growing season, throughout the summer?
Yeah, so that's one of our asks, actually. You know, we're just volunteers and getting no funding for it. And so I'm starting a Monday night gardening club and just hoping to get it, if we can get it started, and hopefully we can get some funding to actually have, my hope is to actually have some staff that's teaching out of there.
Yeah.
You know, Gretchen's doing a great job in growing inside, but on the outside, I'm hopeful that we'll get some sort of programming for the kids to actually get classes.
My understanding with these things, and I've seen it at other schools as well, is the challenge is that the kids go away for the summer, and then you have to have like a paid staff or someone that's going to be, or like you're saying, to start a gardening club. Or and Gretchen,
I was just gonna say about that is in the conversations with Michael Thompson and Hadley, and when they, and I guess Jerome too, when they built these domes all around the country, they realized because of that exact situation that it had to be more of a community resource and school too. And I think we're all looking for the teachers that will come and use what we're doing. Yeah. But, you know, we can segue into that. I just wanted to say that in the biodome, I really didn't get started till September, and you know you can't find transplants anywhere in the state, so I raised them and I just started sowing. I sow by the cycle of the moon, and I just sowed everything in September. We had food all winter, and I brought my herbs and my dry flowers and my flowers and my flower pots in there. And I think it's been a place of inspiration for people.
Ooh.
And then the food that we grow, we can't, at least in there, we can't grow enough for the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. But so we have donated it to the teachers.
Oh, great.
And then our celebrated volunteers that we want to mention at some point that came to these work days.
Uh-huh.
I mean, huge amount of people came from the community on these work days, and most of them are still helping us.
Oh, great. Great.
So it's very positive.
Wonderful. So, yeah, tell us kind of what are some of the challenges that you're facing besides the ones that you mentioned already? And like what kind of help could you use besides volunteers? Is there support that the community could bring to bear to help you activate this biodome and surroundings as a learning space for the community?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, on the outside and like the overall implementation of the design, I think that coming out and just doing the weekly work days with us and helping it, keeping it maintained through the summer is one. Two, the community, if we could get some funding for a staff, that would be incredible. And then also, if anybody's out there interested in summing, in like taking on part of the design, like the hoop house, somebody just taking that on and getting it going, or the classroom area, or we've got some other construction things happening. We have one community member, Divide Creek Builders, Max Phyllis, is going to go in and put a pergola up in the middle of the garden, and we're looking for picnic benches for the kids to come out
Shade
eat their lunch.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of pieces to this puzzle that I would like to eventually get to. And so if you have any sort of skill or, you know, construction ability, there's a place for you. And if you want to get involved, it's yeah, we can definitely find a place for anybody who wants to get involved.
Okay. And so Monday evenings are when people should show up, or?
So out on the outside part of it, I'm doing Monday evenings from 6 to 7:30.
Okay.
Just kind of maintaining it. And then Gretchen is doing the inside dome work, which is different than what I'm doing.
We do a harvest every Friday so that we can drop it off to the teachers, and they have a refrigerator they can, you know, go get stuff from.
Okay.
I have not set up a specific day, but I'm available to set people up. There's always projects within the dome as far as maintenance type projects. I have some needs for the dome that I would love to, you know, find the resources for. I need new doors. One of the doors is, I mean, almost breaking apart. I would love it if I could find somebody to create some screen doors that have mesh big enough for bees to go through. So it's kind of a specific type of screen door. But we have this kind of projects. I mean, we always need paver stones and pots and buckets and money for seed and plants. And
there is a fund at the school for the garden center. So if anybody wants to make a donation directly to the garden center, they can do that through, I would think, Lindsay, or just like probably the front office of the high school.
So what about if you went on the internet and went to Roaring Fork High School? Is there a way to... Well, we should work on that.
Yeah, I don't know. Sure. We need an internet person to do that.
No, sounds great. I'll say it out loud on the air right now. I know the number one thing is the funding, because not everyone in this valley especially can afford to volunteer their time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really expensive to live here. Mm-hmm. Speaking for myself, I wish I could go volunteer there every day, but I have to, you know, work and pay the bills and everything. And,
Yeah, and the timing is so unfortunate. I'm a big believer in school garden education as well. I've started numerous grow spaces that are intended to be learning spaces, and it just always comes up this very unfortunate timing of the fact that they created the school calendar essentially to allow kids to be off helping on the farm during the summer. So ironically, it keeps people from learning farming these days. But I also think that a lot of funders and, you know, people who would want to support this would want to support it as a learning space specifically. So could you tell us a little more about, you know, how you see it as a learning space? Like, who are the groups that could benefit from it as a learning space?
So my kind of grand idea, which I think would work great with this space, is that, and we've talked about it kind of in the meetings before, is like we could have CMC partner with us and have summer classes for science classes out of there, and kids could get concurrent enrollment science credits. I mean, that's kind of my dream, and I think that that's also Lindsay's. I don't really understand that side of education, how it could set up. But, I mean, I think me personally and probably my kids also would have taken their science credits in the middle of summer if they could go garden versus some of the other options that they have. So that would be kind of how I see it.
Great.
And then I can also see it so many ways, like art could use it for photography. We're going to plant a lot of flowers out there. I think there's all the science courses, of course, could use it.
The potential of projects and research and experience for the kids. It's huge. I mean, I think of projects every single day that students could study that would also help us in the growing.
Yeah, there's also projects that I have on the design, like a bridge that goes across our dry rock river. And I would love for some, like, wood shop to take that on or some other, I don't know. There's so many ways I feel like that things people could learn out there.
Or, and you know, an arbor over the gate.
Yeah.
With the, you know, plaque that talks about what's going on there and who's volunteering. And
yeah, Max is working with a group of kids on Rams Day to put up the pergola. So that's going to be fun to see, like, how they get out of that.
Awesome, awesome. So people can access it by going into the front entrance of the high school and then driving around the left side. No? Tell me.
there is a gate.
There is a gate.
So,
okay.
And so you can't do it that way. You have to turn at the fire station.
Oh, okay.
Go around the parking of the fire station and take a right before those new, are they apartments?
Okay.
And, I mean, you will have driven by that a million times. If you just look over there, you
can see the grow dome. Yeah, exactly. Okay, great.
I guess a one note is that we don't want people to actually park back there. So if you come and you visit, park in the parking lot and then walk back there.
And it's basically the student parking lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I know some people, maybe we could get in the same room together to get some of that going, some of those learning opportunities. I think y'all want to thank some people who have helped make the project successful. Who would you like to lift up?
Why don't you start?
So
first,
First of all, TE Builders, Thaddeus Eshelman, I hope I got his name right, but he came in last summer with his crew and did so much work getting it from really, really run down to actually a project that looked like it could be doable. And then Gretchen Becker with Nordic Gardens has been in there.
Heather.
Oh, sorry. I looked at you and said Gretchen. Heather Becker and Nordic Gardens. They have done so much work putting in wheelchair accessible paths everywhere. Whoa. And we're going to have hard surface.
New.
Yeah. So it's, and then Divide Creek Builders is another big one that's going to do the pergola real soon. So
nice.
Yeah.
And then I think we just have to express amazing gratitude to Alen Pevick and Michael Thompson and Hadley and Lindsay Henschel for what they've done all the way up to now. And I would like to thank the teachers, Alicia Grimes and Guinevere Jones, and the librarian, Danica Davis, because they have brought the classes out, have volunteered, have helped when I was gone to water and open and close the doors. So, and they really promote what we're doing out there. So that's a start for that. I want to thank Karen, because she's amazing getting these people to help. And so much, I remember, and I had to mention this, when I first saw it, and I was so excited, the thistles in the garden were like 8 feet high, and they were all starting to flower. And I was thinking, I'm leaving in a week. Am I going to go out there and cut an acre of thistles?
Right. <not. laughs>
And the next day, I arrive, and Karen has a crew, and they stayed there for like, I don't know, at least 3 days.
And well, I don't want to take credit for it because that was Thad and his
crew. I know,
but like, I just asked, like, can you come help us with the irrigation? And he took on the thistles. He took on cleaning up the whole thing. He took on the electrical line. He took on the water line. So it has been amazing to see people just get involved when you just asked for, you know, a little bit.
So. I mean, I feel like ever since I've been involved, it's like one miracle after the next. I have a thought, I need this. And all of a sudden it's showing up or somebody's just showing up to help.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to finish thanking a few more people. My friends Ashton and Susan Lee gave us a good little good donation that's really helped with the biodome. And my friend Chris did a lot of work inside to make it so there's so much more room and it's, you know, a nicer place. And then I want to say thank you to Linda and Mark Gysecki, Deb Beauchamp, Don Medved, and Pat Warner for coming just weekly and harvesting and weeding and dealing with pests. And I'm so grateful. And a lot of those people came from a work day.
Nice.
So
if you're just tuning in, we've been chatting with Gretchen Hoffman and Karen Crownhart and Adrian Fielder. I'm Cody Lee. Thank you all so much for coming in. And we've been talking about the Roaring Fork High School Grow Dome right here in Carbondale. And before we go out, please tell listeners how to get involved.
I think the easiest way is just drop in for me on Monday night. And, you know, we can talk about what we may be able to help us with if you have any interest or if you want to work a little bit. That would probably be the best way. Any Monday night only. I'm a good weather gardener, so if it's snowy or cold or rainy or windy.
Any Monday night.
Monday 6 p.m.
Through the summer, I'm hopefully, we're going to like just try to create a little community there and have some fun and see what we can create that's beautiful.
So you'll be there tonight?
I'm going to be there tonight because I'm pretty sure the weather's going to hold.
I kind of want to go check it out myself.
So I think maybe the best way to get our contact information would be through the school.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea, too.
I mean, you can always drop by and have a look. Just if the door's closed, really be sure that it's closed because it flaps around a bit. But talk to the people at the office for our contact info.
One other thing, there is a community garden on the back side of it. So if anybody wants their own plot, I think there's some places in the backside that are available for a plot.
Great.
Yeah.
And I believe that there's now working hydrants back there.
Yes, got that in.
So
there's water.
Well, thank you all so much for what you do for our community.
Yeah, you're welcome. Sounds like thanks for you guys' time.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you guys, and we'll see you out there.
We're going to go out with a little music and stay tuned for, I don't even remember the name of Adele's show, but stay tuned for the one and only Adele Craft.